Lord, we lift up Cooper's family to you, Lord. Can't even begin to imagine the emotions that are going through, they're going through right now. Lord, we ask for your peace that supersedes everything. Lord, may they feel your presence in such a way that they know you're carrying them and holding them. Lord, we thank you for Cooper's life and how he encouraged people and now as he turned his life to you. Lord, we thank you that he's celebrating with you. Lord, may we be able to be your hands and feet here, ministering to his family. Lord, help us. Help us just to be there. Lord, we thank you that that we can come and be amongst one another and be in each other's presence. Everybody's here is very, very special. Lord, help us not to forget that. Your love for every single person in this room and outside these doors is great and extending and desirous for each one of us. Lord, may your heart live in us in such a way that everybody knows that we love them and we desire them to know you. Lord, meet us today. Draw us closer to you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
I hope this morning you came with an anticipation of God's going to be moving. Because I believe he's going to be moving this morning. Monday, there was a track in my mind. This is where the Lord's leading us. And on Tuesday morning, he said, no, I got a different track. I got a different track that he's taken us in, and I believe that he has something that he wants to do in somebody's life today I believe that every Sunday, but I believe that this specifically, he wants to move in somebody's life. Will you be open to that today? Will you be open to it? Because he wants to draw us into a deep relationship that is way surpasses what we could even think of and imagine. The closest relationship we ever have on earth is not even going to be compared to what he wants to draw us into. And what we know of him today, he wants to draw us even closer than our relationship is with him today. So I believe that the Lord has, and it's not just maybe one person, not maybe even two or three or four or five. Maybe it's every single one of us. Can we all be open to what God wants to do in our lives today? Lord, help us. In Philippians 2:8, we've been in this passage, and different words have come out for our congregation, and we've, in Philippians 2:8, is our passage. We have some notes that, thank you, Charles, for passing those out today, that to help you follow along with at least the stream of thought, and we'll see where we go from there, because the Lord might lead off of that stream of thought, so give me the freedom to do that as well. Sometimes notes can feel restricting, at least in my mind, because, I got to talk about this next thing, but maybe not. Isn't that beautiful? God can lead us in different directions. So Philippians 2:8, you'll see it on your paper. If you'd like to stand, you may, if you're able. Being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Lord, may your words just penetrate our hearts and our minds today and transform it. Transform it in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Last week, or 2 weeks ago, because we had VBS last week, which was absolutely wonderful with our kids. It was wonderful because three kids came to know Jesus. And we have VBS so we can share the gospel with kids, don't we? So that they have an understanding that life is more than just about them. It's more than just about this place here, but we have an eternity that we're going to spend with the Almighty King. That he saved us from destruction and death and sin that we read about, which we're talking about in our foundations class in Genesis, that tells us the story of why we even need a Savior in the first place. So we share that at VBS. And some kids were receptive to his calling and received him. It was absolutely beautiful. And then the week before that, we looked at the word obedience. And we saw that the idea of this word is to be listening and submitting, or listening and serving. So we had the idea of that there was a porter at the door, and he's listening for the master's voice on the outside of when to open the door, when to do something that the master's calling him to do. So we have this picture of listening intently and you're obeying something, and hopefully it's the master. We know that we can listen to other things, can't we? Ultimately, we were created to be obedient to the Almighty God. And we saw in Adam and Eve, they chose something different at that moment to be obedient to. And then destruction came. Brokenness came. We live in the midst of that brokenness, where death and tragedy is here. And God works in the midst of this death and tragedy and creates newness and wholeness again. Now Jesus, in our verse, was found in the appearance of a man, humbled himself, and became obedient to the point, even death on the cross. You know, the title of this message I have on the papers, The Importance of Jesus' Obedience. We're going to look at the importance of his obedience today and how it impacts us, because it's going to impact you for the rest of your life, the more and more we're open to what God wants to do from his obedience. Jesus knew the importance of the obedience that he needed to be completely obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross, because that death on the cross was going to bring eternal life to the whole world. Anybody who would receive what he had done was going to give him eternal life. So he knew the importance. He wasn't sent for himself, but he was sent for us, so that we would live with him for eternity. And not only that his commission, his mission was not only to die for us, but to give us a new hope, a new life, but then also to make disciples. So his obedience to death was, yes, it gave us a new life, a new opportunity to be in a relationship with him that was broken, but it also, he has a second part of that mission, was to make disciples, to follow him in this new relationship that we have. So as Jesus, who God himself in the flesh was delivered over to death, gave us that opportunity to live for him again for the first time, but as it was supposed to be in the beginning in the garden. Now we see this, that as Jesus was delivered over to death to give us new life, we see in the Old Testament that God was a deliverer for the people. He was the deliverer. They looked to him as the Israelites looked to him as a deliverer to take them from one place to another. And we're going to see, there's a few passages that we have in Samuel 2:22. He said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer." Psalm 144:2. "My loving kindness and my fortress, my stronghold, my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I take refuge, who subdues my people under me." In Acts 7:35, "And Moses, whom they had disowned, saying, 'Who had made you a ruler and a judge?' is the one whom God sent to be both a ruler and ruler and deliverer, and with the help of the angel who appeared to him in the thorn in the bush." Romans 11, "And so all of Israel will be saved, just as it is written, 'The deliverer will come from Zion, and he will remove ungodliness from Jacob,'" being Jesus. But he's a deliverer. He's a deliverer. And we see this pattern that just happens over and over and over again in Scripture. Man's failure, man's despair, God intervenes and God brings victory. He brings hope. He brings new life. Isn't that great? Some of you, maybe you've experienced that newness of hope and that newness of life in your own life, because you know what it's like to be in the depths of despair, and then when God takes you and he meets you where you're at and he brings you into that newness of life and that victory. Have you felt that? Have you experienced that in your life? If you haven't, maybe today's going to be the day you're going to feel and understand this victory that God wants in your life. But you know, that victory doesn't happen just one time. It happens continually, over and over, when we come across situations that become despairing to us. But God wants to be our deliverer. And we see in the New Testament that we see God, who is Jesus, being that deliverer over death. In Acts 2:23, "This man," being Jesus, "delivered over by the predetermined and a plan for and predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God. God knew we were going to need, back in the garden, he knew we were going to need a Savior. His predetermined plan was, I'm going to come down and I'm going to save him. I'm going to be the deliverer. You nailed to the cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death. But God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held by its power. God, nothing can stop this deliverer. Absolutely nothing can stop this deliverer that we have. Not even death. Not even us putting him on the cross. Because he rose and he has new life. He has victory over death and the cross, over sin. This is the victorious one that we have, that we're going to be talking about, that we come to worship. Is there something in your life that you just look at and you say, you know what, you're just not powerful enough to do that in my life. You're not powerful enough to get that out of my life. One of the things that the Lord said, make sure you don't forget to share this. It's so often we can look at ourselves and say, that just won't happen. We get the pessimistic attitude. We see the world around us and say, man, it's just, nah, it's not going to work. 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 And God says, why are you not looking at me? Amen. Because I overcame that. Death on the cross. I overcame the grave. I was raised up. Why do you look at the surroundings and your situations and don't even look at me to see what I can do in your life? Because I have all the power to do it. And it can be circumstantial. It can be internal brokenness in your life. And he says, I can and I will if you will let me. Are we willing to let him do that today? Are you willing to let him do that to you tomorrow? Some of the examples of what he delivered from. In Exodus 18, they were delivered from Pharaoh. And Numbers 21, delivered the Canaanites from their towns. Deuteronomy, from the cities, that he delivered over all of them. Deuteronomy 3, over kings, delivered from kings. King of Og of Bashan and Sion of the Amorites. In Joshua 11, defeated the Amorites. God showed, I will show you physically what I can deliver you over. All these kings that think they rule, I will show you that I rule. That I am the Almighty God. You follow me, you will be victorious. That's what he shows the Israelites. And that we can look at them and say, wow, God, you're amazing. They had to follow. They had to listen. They walked with him. And he said, look, I'm going to bring you victory. And then when we read that verse in Acts 20, in Acts 2, but God raised him up. Not only physically did they usurp nations, but now spiritually, from the dead to life. He gives life spiritually to us. What we can't really see, which sometimes we don't even really think that it really exists, or really is it really real? What we doubt the most, the spiritual aspect. This is the aspect of when you're struggling with your thought life and you struggle with it over and over and over again. God can't, he can't give me freedom from this. He can't give me freedom from it. But he can give freedom to the Israelites over the king of Og. He did, but that's for them, not for me. But God delivers. And he wants to deliver us from these great struggles that we have. In 2 Corinthians 4, Paul, he's telling the believers that what the believers' walk should look like, those who follow after Jesus. In verse 10, always caring about the body, always caring about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. We could spend a whole couple months just on that verse right there. what that looks like and the dynamics of that. But what I want us to see is that he will give us victory, and he will take us from one place and move us to the next by being constantly delivered over. It's daily. Daily dying to self. The word constantly means unceasingly. Could you imagine that? Think about our life in the last week. Have I unceasingly said, Jesus, I want to die to myself, my desires, what I want, so that I can live for you and see victory in my life? Have I done that this week? Unceasingly, or just for periods of time? Paul urges the believer that it should be unceasingly that you're walking with Jesus. And the Lord shows you, okay, that's selfish. Get that out of your life. Let me take it out. Let me meet you in your battle with Og, which might be unforgiveness. Let me meet you there. Will you follow me unceasingly? Not just for a little while, but will you unceasingly follow me and let me come in and deliver you out of that and bring you freedom in your heart? Because I can't forgive people. I can only call out to God and say, God, help me forgive these people so that I can love them like you love them, because I don't want to. Sharing with a friend that forgiveness is a decision here. There's a lot of emotions that are tagged on with that hurt, isn't there? But when I forgive, I say, I don't want to be the judge of that person anymore. God, I wanted to crush them. I wanted to annihilate them. I wanted them to just feel that pain that I'm feeling. I want to make them feel even worse. But when I say, God, you have forgiven me, and I'm going to forgive them, God, help me do that, because I want you to be the judge. I might still have hurt feelings from what happened, but that's a separate issue that God's going to help me heal from. But when that thought process comes back of, oh, you know what? The enemy, doesn't he work on our emotions? Doesn't he do that? You know, you should be mad at them because they did this. Ding, 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 ding. And then to my mind, there's the battle. There's the battle. The spiritual battle right there. And he wants to show the victory just like he did to the Israelites, giving that over King of Og. That physical victory, he wants to give you the spiritual victory right over it. Give that thought to me. Unceasingly, Lord, that's the thought that came, and this is my emotions that are here. Here, take this, because I cannot do the right thing with it. Give me victory. Unceasingly devoted to surrendering to Christ everything, to let him be the king, let him be the ruler, let him be the judge of what the hurts in my life. That's just one aspect, isn't it? This is just one area of life. But in whatever area you're dealing with, God wants you to surrender that so he can give you victory and deliver you from what has captured you and has kept you in prison. But it starts with a decision. And then God's going to heal the emotion. But I got to continually, unceasingly be devoted to allowing him to do that. And then you have the word to deliver over. Paradidomai. To deliver over. Unceasingly. To be surrendered to Jesus. If you don't want to do that, you will struggle. You will struggle. And it'll be hard to walk and carry that burden every single day. But Jesus' promise is that if you surrender to me, I will bring victory. Because if you don't have a God who brings victory, you don't know my God. My God will give you victory in every single area in your life if you allow him to do it. Every single area. Because he is powerful. And that's what he does. He takes our brokenness that happened in the garden and he reworks it. And he teaches us and shows us more of himself every single day as we unceasingly say, God, I want you to do this in my life. I want you to change what is there that is broken, that is hurt, that is fearful, that is whatever it is. Rework my thinking. I give it to you because the way I want to think about it is the way I want to handle it. And the way I want to handle it is in the flesh, my own desires, which I know from what the Scripture says is corrupted and broken, which is going to bring destruction, which is going to bring more brokenness, but I might be happy with that brokenness. But then I have to ask myself, am I surrendered to Jesus unceasingly to allow Him to bring healing through my responses? Because it's His Holy Spirit moving through me. It's a choice I have to make every single moment of the day. If you have something in your life that you're holding on to, Jesus wants to set you free. So I have a few questions. What do you need to be delivered from? You see the direction that the Lord had took me from Monday to today, or on Tuesday, was talking about salvation on the cross, because He was obedient to death on the cross, to somebody needs to be freed this morning from the bondage of what He did on the cross to set you free. So what do you need to be delivered from? Are there areas in your life that you have held on to that have made you captive that you have to hand over to the deliverer? In 2 Corinthians 5:15, "For He died for all so that they who live might no longer live for themselves." That might means you have a choice. Live for yourselves or not. And we can live for ourselves by holding on to hurt, holding on to pain, holding on to fear, holding on to those things and not allowing God to surrender those over to Him. But for him who died and rose on our behalf, that not no longer live for us, but for Him now. Because of what Jesus did on the cross that set us free from the bondage of sin, now we can live for Him. What holds you back? Are there areas in relationships, being judgmental, sexual sins or addictions, bitterness, anger, jealousy, being in control, manipulating spirit, fear and insecurity, critical spirit? Every single one of these are selfish at the core. They're all natural in the flesh's tendencies. I will live in those if I'm not unceasingly surrendering over to Jesus every single moment of the day. And then one of those are going to rise up and they're going to take hold, because I'm going to let that have a grip. And the Lord's going to say, "Give that to me so that I can bring you victory in that and free you." Will you surrender whatever that is in your life to set you free? I'm going to share a story of a friend of mine who called me up one day and was struggling with the pain of some difficult things that happened in the past. And they had a right to be hurt, because they were hurtful. And my friend called me up one day, so excited. They said, "I was talking to somebody else, and I was sharing about some of our conversation, and this person was sharing, they went through similar stuff. And they talked and they prayed and they said, I have been freed today. God has shown me. I see differently. I see colors differently. I see light. Because doesn't hurt, can't that bring depression? Can it bring isolation, loneliness, question? Well, they were freed. God came in, and because they wanted to surrender over at that moment. They wanted to surrender over and give. God, I need your help in this, because I can't do it. I can't do it on my own. I've seen that. I've tried it. I can't do it. And God said, I'll deliver you from it because you asked for me to really do it from here. You asked me from here. Not just, I want you to help me, God. This person was desperate. Them for a long time. They wanted to be freed so that they would know of God in their life. You know, it made me think there's a difference between thinking, yeah, this is something that bothers me in my life, compared to somebody who's like, God, I need you to get this out of my life because it's controlling me, it's beating me down. I need your help. I need you to do this. Now, the question is, after that point, when we say, God, I want to give it to you, will you believe that he's actually going to do it? Is he really a deliverer that's going to take it? I was thinking, you know, sometimes we have to get to a point where the fear of whatever that situation is becomes that big because the desperation is so great. And I need a Savior to lift me out of this despair because the fear, I'm not scared of that obstacle anymore. But I need you so badly, I want you to take me past the obstacle. And I'm willing to go through that what scares me the most about that situation. And as you can continue down in 2 Corinthians 5:16, therefore, now from now on we recognize no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, that's Jesus the Messiah is walking on the earth, yet now we know him no longer this way. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. And the old things have passed away, and the new has come. So when you look at yourself and you're like, I struggle with this, and I continue to struggle, and I struggle, and I struggle. I can't give it up, can't get up. Okay, that's the old self. Because the new self, Jesus says, I've created a brand new person in you. And I've given you my spirit to guide and to direct you and to give you freedom. Freedom from the past stuff that so much plagued you. The way you used to handle life, not any longer. Because if we want to be free from our struggles, he will. He will set us free. That's his promise. But it'll depend. This process might be gradual or it might be instant. It will depend on your willingness to surrender and to stay surrendered. And through that process, he's going to teach you and show you the chains that once chained you and how he sets you free from those chains. So that you walk in this victory state where you say, you know, God is powerful because I've seen the power of him in my life. And he wants to do that in every single area in our life, drawing us closer to him. And the promise is also that he walks with us through the midst of those struggles together with us. Isn't that comforting? He doesn't expect us to do anything in life on our own, ever. He knew when the brokenness happened in the Garden of Eden, when sin entered, we absolutely needed a Savior. We absolutely needed a deliverer. We absolutely needed a personal friend to walk next to us, to carry us, because we can't do this on our own. I'm going to have I believe the Lord's speaking to people in their hearts. And I want to give an opportunity for people to come up and come to the altar. If you want prayer with somebody, we got deacons, we got the prayer team that's around. If you want to be delivered from something, today's the day for delivery. God, I've asked God, Lord, please come. The prayer team, before service, please come and be with us today. Show us yourself. I believe God wants to deliver some people today. Whatever you need to be delivered from, he is willing to meet you right where you're at. We're not going to have any music. You can stay at your seat. You can call out to God. But if you want somebody to pray with you, we're here. I'm going to give some time, and then we'll continue on in the closing. I'll start out with some prayer. Lord, I thank you so much. I thank you, Lord, that you are a deliverer. You are the ultimate deliverer. There's nothing that we can do on our own, and we need you. We need you to meet us on our need and where we're at right now. Lord, I pray that we make decisions to let you come and meet us, and then let you take us by the hand and move us to the next step and the next step and the next step. Lord, help us to be unceasingly surrendered to you through the process, to let you show us your power in our lives. We have struggled, we have failed. We have struggled and we have failed because we keep trying to do it on our own, with our own strength, with our own wisdom, with advice from people, with what the world says, this is how you do it. But Lord, it doesn't work. May we be desperate for you, Lord, to let you move. If anybody would like to come up and in prayer, just please come up anytime. These deacons are scattered around, the prayer team's around. Pray with your neighbor. God wants to move in our lives today. Hearts. Now you're bringing to memory the things that are hurtful, things that are drawing us away from you, things that seem to cycle in our lives. Lord, help us to bring it to you and to unceasingly bring it to you, to let you be victorious. In Jesus' name, amen. And we've come to our time. We have our communion time. Our God has brought us great victory. Victory over death, given us new life. Victory over the struggles we have in life. And some of you might have experienced that this morning again, a freshness, a newness. Well, I encourage you, the enemy wants to come in and swoop right back in and take away that freedom that you feel, that freedom that you're experiencing, and he wants to trap you again. Give it to God. Surrender it to him. Captivate the thoughts. My thought is going to revenge again, Lord. Take it. Don't dwell on things of that nature. My thoughts are going to the inappropriate. Lord, take it. Don't let it go there anymore. Unceasingly surrender to Jesus, and you will find victory. There is no question. That is his promise. And we're going to celebrate that victory that he did on the cross with communion. The deacons can come up. Joyce, would you mind playing 10,000 Reasons? You know, we come to the table, and Jesus, at the Last Supper, he took some bread, and he's going to say some things to the disciples. We get to come, and if you don't know Jesus today, just watch. If you want to know Jesus today, that back in the Garden of Eden, God created a relationship with Adam and Eve. They wanted something more than him, and it was broken. The rest of mankind, all through history, has wanted something else other than God. And God had a plan to bring restoration. He came to earth, lived an absolutely sinless life. Never sinned. Was put on that cross and took your debt, my penalty, your penalty, and placed it on himself. He became sin for my sake and for your sake. And then 3 days later, he raised from the dead. And Jesus is going to share this new covenant with them. And in verse 19 of Luke 22, "And then he had taken some of the bread and given thanks. And he broke it. And he gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" As we eat of the bread, we acknowledge that Jesus is God Himself in the human flesh. That He proved through His life obedience to the Father. Unto death. And in the same way, he took the cup. And after they had eaten, saying, "This cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood."
Thank you.
By partaking of this cup, we acknowledge that Jesus took all of our sins upon himself, that we can't out-sin him, out-sin grace. He covers everything. And also that he rose from the dead and reigns for eternally, forevermore. And one day we will see this King and be with him face to face. Lord, we thank you so much for your love. It abounds and abounds and abounds. We thank you, Lord, for your deliverance. For it seems to be new every day to us. Continue to deliver us from ourselves, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. April's going to share a song with us to end our time.